You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
So, hello and welcome to my guest, Rich. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hi, doing? Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Cool. Who is Rich? Tell us a little bit about Rich himself.
Rich likes to be a little bit spontaneous and adventurous. I've had like a long history of doing adventurous things, rock climbing, mountaineering, travel quite a lot doing that, but also quite enjoyed capturing those moments using cameras. Had a few career changes throughout the way, but I like to think of myself as a free spirit, but inevitably I get tied down to responsibilities.
There's always a way, isn't it? Always a way. I'm curious, which came first? Was it the travel, or then you decided to get into video so you could video it? Or was it the videoing and you decided to travel because, hey, I could video all these cool places?
It was travel first. Yeah. And it was not the first kind of travel experience I had was going rock climbing in Spain. Doing what's known as a hot rock trip, so you go away for a week and just go rock climbing and enjoy the weather. That was my first kind of international trip, I think. And at that time, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but we didn't have the cameras we have now. It was video cameras as opposed to digital cameras. So I did capture those trips more as stills rather than video. And then later, as time's gone on, I've kind of got more in the habit of capturing using film. But I do have a fear of getting in front of the camera. And at some point, thinking about it actually, I've got a videotape, and it is a tape, a proper tape rather than a hard drive anywhere, of me talking to camera, waving a camera around quite widely. But at some point after that, and that was 2004, before YouTube was a thing, I became quite scared and conscious of myself on camera. Uh-huh. And stopped taking any pictures. Selfies for me was, it was a thing I didn't do, it was other people did that. I didn't want to put my face on camera, and then I didn't want to speak on camera for quite some time. So even like we went to Greenland in 2014, and I made a video of that, and I made myself appear on camera right at the end of the trip. And the one regret is that I should have probably done more to talk about the trip while it was going on.
That's kind of why we're here, to just talk about video and being on it, because it is a fear for a lot of people is that whole being on the camera. Why do you think that is? Let's start there. Why do you think that is something that scares people?
Self-conscious, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that someone's going to say something or pick a fault about your appearance or the way you speak, or that you're not doing it right, or you're not looking at the camera. Just things like that. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
And it took a while for me to get over that. And the way I did it was recording myself and then putting that video into a Facebook group, a small Facebook group of people that I, although may not have known, we all had kind of the same intent, as it were, to be there. And I knew that nobody would kind of take the mickey out of me for posting that video. So it was kind of like a gradual process from there. But I also, I'm quite a quiet, soft-spoken, introverted kind of guy, so being this loud, shouty, YouTuber type person isn't my kind of thing. But I feel there's an expectation to be that person. Uh-huh. And because I'm not, I think my videos might be a little bit boring or drab because of the way I speak and present myself.
Interesting. I've got to say, I'm not just saying this to you now, I've got to say I've seen quite a few of your videos. Mm-hmm. And boring and drab are certainly not the words that come across. And I guess that's quite a key thing, really. It's so many people think, as you do, and you're semi-professional videographer, professional videographer? How
do
you?
I do professionally, but not full time.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm increasing it.
Yeah. So professional videographer, and you still have this fear about, oh no, I can't be in front of camera.
Yeah.
I'm happy to put everybody else in front of the camera, but I can't.
Yes, it's very different being behind the camera than it is being here. Sometimes you get in your head things you want to say, and then it all just comes out as a big verbal diarrhea, or you get tongue-tied. It just takes practice, from my experience.
I think you've hit on a key there, practice. And I like the idea of the Facebook group that you joined, where it was lots of like-minded people all looking to increase their levels of comfort about being on camera. How did you find that whole experience of being in that group?
It was a group that was set up to help people with social media, and that was one of the tasks, was to record a video about anything and just put it within the group. I did end up putting it quite well in a much larger community of a couple, I think 10,000 plus at the time. So it was quite well received. I was, you know, you record this video, I edited it on my computer to kind of trim it down and make it look a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I listened to myself quite a lot in that process. And I think that helps as well, actually watching yourself on camera, so you learn what works and what doesn't work, and you become more comfortable hearing your own voice, because nobody likes the sound of their own voice, not initially anyway.
Yeah, so true.
It's so cringy. And then I created the post and just hovered over the post button and just clicked the mouse and just thought, well, that's it now, it's fine. It's done. There's nothing I can do about it. And then I got really good feedback about it, and I don't know if someone suggested, whether I suggested myself, I should put it in a large community. And again, there it was quite well received.
Yeah.
It was kind of it was a personal video I did about some of the challenges that I've been through in my life and business. So it wasn't just like, hi, this is me kind of thing. It was quite deep in some levels.
Yeah.
So it was well received and went down well. And that kind of builds you, just gives you a little bit more confidence, doesn't it? And then you think, okay, well, it's not so bad.
Yeah, and I think that is absolutely key, because, I mean, do you think anybody is naturally, what's the opposite of afraid? Unafraid of being on camera? I mean, is there anybody who naturally, I mean, yes, there are people who now go, oh, it's a camera, hello! But when we first do that, I mean...
I don't know, because there are people who are definitely natural performers.
Yeah.
And they like being in front of the crowd, they're very extroverted. That is definitely not me. I don't know if the people are naturally in front of the camera, but there are natural performers out there.
Sure.
But I do find that I find myself putting on a different mindset, so I kind of put on a performer mindset and think this is an act. I'm not trying to deceive anybody, I'm just trying to be the best person I can be in front of the camera.
So you're kind of almost putting on a persona for the camera, as you say, not an act, but just kind of stepping into rich on camera as opposed to, yeah. That's it. How did you go about developing that, do you feel, or is that something that just sort of happened?
I think it happened through watching myself on video, and I just thought, not so much some of the more artistic videos that I do, but some of the more talking head videos that I've done in the past.
Yeah.
I've just listened to myself and thought, that's a bit flat, could be a bit more energy in there. So it's just been a process of watching myself and thinking, I need a bit more energy. So I need to do, what can I do to get a bit more energy on camera? And that could be putting on a persona.
Got it. And that whole idea of having a persona for when you're out performing, however you want to describe it, it's a lot more common than people think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I mentioned performers, if you were to say to people, can you name a very charismatic performer who you think is completely out there and totally comfortable and confident with with being in front of hundreds of thousands of people, Freddie Mercury would be a name that would, for many people, yeah. would come up. I mean, like him at Live Aid leading the 80 odd thousand people in the stadium, basically just owning that whole stadium. But the really interesting thing was that wasn't the real Freddie. When he wasn't on stage, he was actually quite a shy person. Mm-hmm. He was notorious for not doing interviews because he was just didn't like the whole.
Yeah.
That's it. But yet when you see him performing, and he himself said he stepped into a persona of Freddie the rock star who is comfortable with doing this. So I guess it's that same kind of thing with video.
And actors do it professionally, don't they, in films?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's their job to act.
Hey, very true.
And portray something that they're not, but...
Yeah. And again, it's not about... I guess it's not about deceiving, because I know I've spoken with this about this with people before, and so, oh, I don't want to pretend to be something I'm not. I guess you're not really pretending, you're just... Who do I need to be in order to get across the information that I need to get across to help people?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Looking deep in thought.
I am. Yeah, it's not about deceiving people. It's trying to get information across in a way that people will understand it and take it in and watch the video throughout.
Yeah.
Because if you are just talking very monotonously and boring, people are going to switch off. So if you've got an important point to say, and it's going to resonate with the audience, they're not going to watch it.
Yeah. So I guess it's about, in a way, realizing what is the point that I need to get across. Mm-hmm. Why is this important to people? And the more you realize how important it is, the more you realize how you've got something which will help other people if they listen. Then I guess it becomes easier to step into this persona of how can I make this engaging so that it does help them? Because I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for the people who are watching.
Yeah, you're not lying to yourself, as it were, to try and be something you're not. You're trying to bring out the best in them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's doing whatever you need to do in order to help them the most.
Mm-hmm.
Nice way of looking at it.
And also stick to one point as well.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yeah.
I've done videos, long rambling videos, where I've kind of started on one topic, but then kind of thought, well, if I want to talk about that, I need to introduce this idea, and that leads me to that idea. So then I just end up on this long rambling video and thought, well, you know, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Start again.
Yeah, I guess it works if you're Eddie Izzard or Billy Connolly, but not if you're
a normal
person just trying to get a point across. Although I suppose if you think, oh, there's a half a dozen points here I need to get across, I guess that's now you've got half a dozen short videos you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah,
divide it up and let people digest isn't the right word, is it?
Consume
the content. Yeah, as they want and need it.
Yeah, in those bite-sized chunks rather than sit through an hour of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus it's easier on you as well.
It is,
recording 10-minute statements rather than recording a whole hour.
Yeah, and remembering it all and... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you mentioned one of the things that you did that helped you kind of be able to build this persona of Rich, the on-screen guy,
mm-hmm.
was watching... The videos that you've done and listening back to them. I know a lot of people cringe at the thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I used to hate that until one particular course that I went through, which got to in a moment, but I'm just curious, was there anything that you used to get over it, or did you just kind of sit down and go, right, I'm going to get through this?
It was the process of knowing that I wanted to publish a video and I wanted to be the best video that I could. To do that, it would need editing. So it was just listening to myself time and time again. Obviously here we've got two cameras, so it was cutting between each camera and cutting out the bits that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But in that process, you listen to yourself so many times, over and over again, just to make it cut right, to make sure it sounds okay. So for me, it was just that process of constantly listening to myself, kind of interrogating myself,
yeah.
and being... I mean, I don't want to say you should be hypercritical, of course I don't think you should, but it's being critical of yourself, but learning from that rather than hiding away and shying away, I think.
Yeah, I like that. So it was, you were watching them and listening to them over and over and over again, but not just sitting down like, let me watch and listen to me a dozen times in a row. It was, I'm watching this and listening for particular things because this is the outcome I want. So you've got the outcome in mind, so mm-hmm. that there is a greater yep. purpose behind it.
And listen to it a sentence at a time rather than just sitting down and listening to whatever length video you may have. And then thinking about that sentence and do I really need that sentence in that video? Which is kind of an editorial thing rather yeah. than confidence.
Yes, yeah.
But then thinking, well, if I take that out, then I've got this. Does the previous sentence match with the next sentence? And if I do an as I quite often do, can I cut that out? And does it all flow? So you're listening to the same bits over and over again
yeah.
as you work through the video, rather than sitting through like a 10-minute video as in a one hit.
Got it. So yeah, so you're kind of breaking it up into those chunks, which means all your attention isn't, obviously your attention initially is going to be, oh my God, do I sound like that? But after a few minutes, all those thoughts, I presume, then go. You're going, oh, does that sentence make sense? Does this work?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it. And then the fact that you've listened to it so many times, you then become kind of immune, as it were, to...
Yeah, and in some way, I guess it comes back to this whole idea of having a persona, because sometimes when I'm watching it, I'm not watching it as if it was me. I'm just watching it as if it was another client's video I'm editing.
Yeah.
So it's not me that I'm editing, even though it is.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, I mentioned that I used to absolutely hate looking at myself on video or listening to myself until I was on a course which was all about presentations. It was a Dale Carnegie presentation course. If you ever get the chance to go on them, they are absolutely fantastic. And no, I'm not paid by them to say that. It is genuinely, it's a great course. And one of the things you had to do was stand up in front of the room and do a short talk, and they would video it. You did this about half a dozen times over the course of the 2 days, which was fine. But once you videoed it, you would then go into another room mm-hmm. and there was another instructor there, and you and they would sit down and go and watch that video and be looking for, what did you do well? What's the one thing you're gonna improve on next time? It's like, my God, I've got to watch my video and I'm watching it with someone else as well, which is really cringy. But like, as you alluded to, the thing I found that really helped me was I sort of kind of almost stepped out of myself. It's like, right, I'm not watching me on video again. This is two of us watching somebody who's done a video, and they would like us to give them some feedback so they can be a bit better.
Yeah.
And instantly, the second I thought that, I was like, wow, it suddenly becomes a lot easier, because I'm not like, oh my God, did I do this? It's like, how can I help this person to be even better? Bam, it really does make a huge difference. And ever since then, that's every time I'm watching me on video, I'm not actually watching me on video, I'm watching this person who's doing this stuff, and it makes it so much easier.
It does.
Yeah, cool. Sorry, you
said... No,
that's fair enough, no, that's all right. So, suppose somebody's watching this or listening to this, and they're kind of thinking, you know what, I have got a message that is important. It will help so many people out there. But I just hate being on video. I suppose I should start doing videos. I know I'm going to hate them to start with, but the more I do them, the more comfortable I'll get. What would you say is, what advice would you give them for taking the most difficult step, which is that first step? It's like, okay, I've got my cameras. What do I do?
For me, the hardest step was publishing the video.
Right.
Obviously, you can be really hypercritical, and I've done so many videos in the past where I've recorded them and just kind of, I haven't binned them, but they're on a hard drive somewhere. They have not been published. So it's just getting over that fact that, you know, what's going to happen if you publish that video, and what's going to happen if you don't? Well, if you don't publish it, nothing's going to happen anyway. Yeah. And if you do publish it, chances are nothing bad's going to happen anyway. It's either going to get ignored and not watched, or you're going to get some good feedback. My biggest fear was trolls, you know, people just like...
Yeah.
I've never had an experience with a troll yet. And when it comes to that point, I don't know how I'll take it. I think I hope that I'll just kind of ignore it. Yeah. But, you know, getting my message out there is far more important than me worrying about what somebody else is going to say.
True. Yeah, that's true. I guess, was it Oscar Wilde or someone like that said, you know, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess even if a troll starts posting, all they're doing is bringing it to even more people's attention.
Well, yeah, they are. They are. And, you know, all social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, their algorithms rely heavily on engagement. So
yeah.
You know, even on a YouTube, if someone dislikes your video, it still classes as engagement, so it still helps. Because if your video is bland and crap, people just won't watch it.
Yeah.
If it's provocative, even in a good or a bad way, and it's getting engagement,
yeah,
these social media platforms like that. And if someone leaves you a negative comment, YouTube, Facebook, they don't know whether it's a negative comment or not, they just see it as a comment.
Exactly, yeah.
So, in a strange way, whatever they're saying, good or bad, it helps. All publicity is good publicity, as they say.
Very true.
All comments are, in terms of social media, good comments.
Yeah, so even if somebody does troll your video and start saying nasty things, all that's going to happen is more people are going to get to see your video, mm-hmm. which means, in effect, they're helping promote you.
Yeah.
Nice. What about when you're kind of, okay, I've got my camera, and I'm sat down, I'm ready to talk, and mind goes blank. Because it's one thing to kind of go over in your head, oh, what am I going to talk about? It's quite another thing to be sat there and you're suddenly looking at the camera and, I can't remember a single thing.
Yeah. I'm lucky in some respects, I guess, because I'm quite good at editing. So I've always taken the edit route.
Yeah.
So aids for memory would be to write it down on script in front of you,
uh-huh.
either remember a sentence or a paragraph at a time, or bullet points, and just concentrate on one bullet point at a time, and then stitch the cameras together, or the shots together afterwards. So you make one video of a few bullet points. Post-it notes as well. If you're using your phone, you can stick post-it notes to the screen to stop yourself looking at yourself. If you look at the lens rather than look at yourself. So you can use post-it notes over the screen or the back of the phone, or on a long list underneath the camera,
mm-hmm.
just as a memory aid. You can get apps as well, auto cue apps, which on your phone it will display the text, and the good ones will display the text next to where the camera is. So it looks like you're looking at the lens from a distance. If you've got the camera phone here,
yeah.
you can tell.
Yeah,
but if you are looking at the camera from a distance, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
And I think there is some good ones. They will listen to what you're saying and they'll scroll either at a certain rate or based on what you're saying.
Oh, right. So you don't have the fear of the auto cue is going to go racing off ahead. Yeah. It's actually keeping pace with you.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
So there are quite a few apps out there for remembering and
crafting
yourself.
Brilliant.
Unless you want to go down the whole proper auto cue teleprompter route, but they cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess that's stepping up quite a little. That's really interesting, actually, those apps. I did not realise that. I'm going to go and try and check.
Yeah, check there are a few out there. Yeah. Give me some links.
Yeah, if you get me some links, we'll pop those in the show notes. So if you go to Keith Blake Monroe, KeithBlakeMoreNoble.com/show, look for Rich's episode. You'll find his bio, information about Rich, details of how to connect with him. But we'll also pop in some links that Rich will give me on AutoCue type software that you can get, apps you can get for your phones and so on. So that will be really useful. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to check them out. I mean, you were saying about you can use notes if you were three camera setup. This is luxury. I'm not used to three cameras.
Where'd you look?
Yeah, we've got no notes here, but the reason for that is I've been doing these sorts of shows in this sort of format for a couple of years now, so it gets easier, and that is a key thing. The more you do it, and you'll attest to this, the more you do it, the easier it gets. The first few shows that I did, I'm not kidding, I had two pages of A4 with lots of bullet points sat right in front of the screen, either side of the camera, just to keep me on track. So yeah, start off with as many of those things as you need, and as you get into it, the more you do these, the more you practice, the easier these things will come.
And I think it also depends on how well you know your subject.
Yes.
If you know your subject, because in your subject at the moment, or what this topic you're talking about, if you know it really well, you'll need less notes than something you're not too sure about.
Absolutely, yeah. And let's face it, you should probably be talking about the topics that you know about, because that's what you're, the information you're giving. Fantastic. So I think the key things we kind of picked up from here are that for a lot of people, being shy of being on the camera is a natural state to start with. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. There are a lot of people like that, but you can overcome it.
Definitely.
Develop an on-camera persona that you can sort of step into. Mm-hmm. It's not about pretending to be something you're not. It's just about, who do I need to be so that I can get the information across to help the people that I'm looking to help? Kind of keep in mind, what's the purpose behind me being on this video? Think about the people who are going to be helped because you're doing this. So many sins can be covered up and caught in editing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're not great on camera, get good at editing.
Brilliant.
Just cover up a multitude of sins. Either by clever cuts or transitions or overlaying other footage on top. Yeah.
Yes, overlaying footage is nice. And if you can use a couple of cameras, that makes it so much easier as well, because you can cut from one to the other. Yeah. I mean, I remember the very first piece to camera I ever did for a thing a few years back. It was about a five minute piece to camera. It took me an entire day to record, and then took me another entire day of editing. These days I can usually do them in one shot, because I've been doing it for years. But those first one, 5 minutes, it was a good 2 days worth of work. And you're getting halfway through, you think, why am I doing this? But it does get easier. It does get easier. That's with everything. The more you do it, practice. And kind of keep in mind the reason that you're doing this, and is to help the people who you're looking to help. And if you give up on this, basically you're giving up on them.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Well, it is, yeah. Absolutely. Rich, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting
with you. It's been
good. If people want to find out a bit more about you, you create wonderful video. I mean, you're a professional videographer, so you do lots of video for yourself, but you do it for lots of other people and for businesses and so on. If people want to find out more, see more examples of your work, maybe get in touch, have a chat, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Best way would be to head over to my website, which is Rich Wilkes Films, richwilkesfilms.com.
richwilkesfilms.com.
Yeah, that Wilkes with a K-E-S. Yeah.
K-E-S, yeah. Brilliant. And we'll pop that in the show notes. KeithBlakemoreNoble.com/show. Look for Rich's episode. You'll find his link to his website, which is, again,
richwilkesfilms.com.
You'll find links to his website. You'll find more about Rich. We'll pop in the links to the AutoCue type apps and so on there as well.
Brilliant.
Rich, thank you so much.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
You take care. We'll catch you again soon.
Thanks, Keith.
Cheers. And thank you so much for joining us. And we'll catch you again very soon on the next episode. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.